News and Answers show, Greenwich Matters, where your host, Sam Romeo, will keep you up to date on the political scene in Greenwich, along with decisions made at the state and federal levels that impact Greenwich. And of course, he'll take your calls at 661-5051. That's 661-5051. And now, here is your host, Sam Romeo.
Good evening, Greenwich, and welcome to another segment of the Greenwich Matters show. As always, our bi-weekly guests we have here in the studio, we have Mark Betts and Rob Kennedy, along with Christopher Hull, who's going to talk about the sustainability. I'll be all right. We got a call already. We're going to discuss the
HERS index. The HERS,
that's it. There we go. So I'm going to turn it right over to you.
All right. Good evening, Sam and Chris. Nice to have you here. Definitely a pleasure to have Chris Hull here. We recently met. We referred to Chris from another architect that we had on the show, Jason Taylor. His dad, Nate Taylor, who is a project manager and or construction manager, is working on a project out in East Hampton that we're taking a look at right now. It's another glass house, kind of a storefront type glass house. And we're going to talk to Christopher Hull tonight. Chris is an architect here locally in Greenwich. If you haven't heard about him, he is definitely involved in a lot of sustainable projects. And he's going to talk tonight a little bit about the HERS standard and what that means and why it's important to you as a homeowner. So, Chris, I'll turn it over to you a little bit, and we'll start to talk.
Well, sounds good. Well, thank you for having me here tonight. The HERS rating is a very useful standard for just about any homeowner. The value of it is that there's an independent accredited rater who does the HERS rating, so it's not a contractor or a developer or anybody who is just telling you that. It's an independent evaluation. And this allows you to see how efficient your house is compared to what they call a reference house, which is one that was built under the standards that existed back in 2006. Probably the most useful thing in it is that it tells you how much energy will be used by your house in its day-to-day operation. As of now, without the standard, you sort of just guess what it is based on, you know, your past history or, you know, the square footage of the house. But this does an in-depth evaluation of the windows, the insulation, the mechanicals inside, all the different components, and gives you a number based on those different components. So 100 is the standard, which is what that reference house is. And then you can go all the way to 0, which would be a house that uses no net electricity.
So it's a measuring tool for efficiency of a house. And is this both residential and commercial?
It is applicable to both,
okay,
though it's most common in residential architecture.
Okay. Yeah, we're actually starting to see it more and more on the commercial side, but I think it was originally developed for residential, correct?
It was, yes. The HERS actually stands for home energy.
Right.
So that was the original.
Okay. And how would a homeowner go about sort of identifying one of these independent home energy auditors?
Yes. HERS is created by ResNet, and on the ResNet site, there's a list of all the different people that do that.
Well, that's helpful.
Yes.
So what are you seeing in terms of some of the trends with regard to the HERS standard, and what do you see as draw a distinction between HERS as a standard or something that's been imposed and something that is just a useful evaluating tool?
Sure. I think there's a lot to that. Municipalities now are starting to require HERS or a system similar to it. Particularly out in the Hamptons, East Hampton has just adopted requirement that currently all houses have to have a 54 on the 100-0 scale.
Mm-hmm.
And in June, that's going to go all the way to 35, which is going to radically change how homes are constructed out there, okay, and their energy efficiency over time.
And is this in your opinion, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing, or what's your thoughts on where the direction that it's taking?
I think it is a good thing. The issue with it is that there's going to be a lot more upfront cost. You're going to save money over time, but at the beginning, in some of these homes that are going to try to reach, say, the 35 rating, mm-hmm, you're going to end up with photovoltaic panels or geothermal systems.
That's stuff that we've talked about in the past about,
right,
long-term payback. So
yes,
you're going to have that upfront cost, but over the life of the property, you're going to have a net savings.
So for the audience, really what we're starting to get into is when you and I were discussing this prior to the show with regard to making a purchase of a home, if you're looking to buy a new home, rather than just looking at the cost of the mortgage, whereas maybe you're looking at a mortgage that's going to cost you $3,000 a month, you want to look at the total cost. And in doing that, if you look at a home that is much more efficient to operate, you then might be able to buy a more expensive home based on that.
Oh, absolutely.
And in effect, getting a higher quality home, which is going to retain its value better and be a better investment in the long run as well.
Right, yeah. And if you just even think of it just in the numbers wise, this 35-rated house would be 65% more efficient, so your bills would be less than half of what they are in a typical house. So over time, that's going to be a tremendous savings. And I really think we're going to see what sort of happened, starting in 2008 with the original energy code changes, when they started switching from standard lights to LED lights, that these photovoltaics and geothermals and insulations and everything are going to get much cheaper, over time.
See, I noticed that myself. I'm having savings now. My house, obviously, was an older house, was built back in the 1980s, mid-80s. And they weren't that energy efficient.
Right.
But
right,
through the years, I've made a lot of changes with LED lighting, conversion from oil to gas, windows, siding,
sure,
better insulation. So those costs are after costs, but right, going into it, moving forward, and you have these standards set up,
right,
and the code changes, I'd be ahead of the game rather than have the retrofit. It's cheaper to do it, maybe a little more costly for the product. But moving forward, I'm getting paid back. So I see tremendous savings right now just on my own.
So this sort of plays off of a point that we at Greenview try to make daily. And that is that, what's the purpose of acquiring a building? Now, I'm not so sure that this applies so much to the residential market. However, obviously, we do see a residential home as some sort of an investment. But, it's not as strong of an argument as when you get into commercial. When you buy a building, you obviously are buying a building for a return on investment.
Sure.
And one of the things that I like to bring up in a lot of the presentations that we do is, if you're going to invest in a building, and you're going to for a return on investment, why wouldn't you invest in sustainability for that same purpose? Because many times, if you look at the returns on investment for a building, they're actually significantly less than the investments that you can make into sustainability.
Sure, absolutely.
So you see that, and I know you're working on a project out in East Hampton. Talk about that project a little bit, and talk about some of the key components that are going to be considered in terms of trying to reduce the operating costs of that home.
Sure. Yes. There's one we're working on right now that is actually going to be subject to that HERS standard.
Okay.
So it is, incorporating all of these new technologies. We're going to have to incorporate photovoltaics in the roof too. Operate some systems. Geothermal is going to be there. But applying to both that and a different project we have out there, there's a 7,000 square foot house we're working on,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't have to meet the HERS standard, but for energy efficiency, we have to carefully select the windows, especially because this particular house has 67% glass.
Right.
You know, so there's almost no wall left. So
you're creating, from an architect's perspective, you're creating something that that is taking advantage of the natural surroundings. You want to sort of exploit the natural surroundings with,
yes,
the views through the all the glass in the house. But right, you have to create this balance between what you want to do aesthetically and what you want to do from an efficiency standpoint as well.
Absolutely. The aesthetics are the initial, you know, goal.
Sure, sure.
And then the energy conservation is, you know, it's kind of a selling point for the house. Plus, just because of the standards that exist out there, you know, you have different trade-offs. So if we were to use a window that wasn't very efficient, we would then have to put tremendous amounts of insulation that would add, you know, significantly to the costs of the project.
And there's other considerations, you know, being to some extent in that business, with regard to whether it be a window product or anything else. There's other factors that come into play, not the least of which comfort. Sure. Is one of them. I mean, nobody likes to stand next to a window and feel like they're in a tunnel, particularly, you know, on a place like Long Island, where, you know, you've got some pretty cold breezes coming off the ocean.
Yeah.
And you have health considerations as well, whether that not, you know, necessarily related to windows, but in terms of the house that you're building. Obviously, health considerations, the comfort, the overall comfort, and what you're trying to achieve, those play a key factor.
Chris, do you incorporate solar in your designs?
Occasionally. It's something that is becoming a lot more common. We did one a few years ago down in the city that was a water-based, not a photovoltaic mm-hmm. base, but a water-based solar system, which did a great job of providing not only hot water but heat for the whole building, so they were able to only have a backup boiler.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sure. No.
The solar is an interesting question. I mean, we've looked at solar a bit in terms of adopting it from a distribution standpoint, and my feeling and the consensus seems to be that in some cases it can be terrific in under right circumstances. But to us, as a whole, and Chris, maybe you can sort of speak to this point, and you
sure.
may even contradict it. But what we're seeing is that there's still from the perspective of the homeowner, in terms of a return on investment, we'd like to see that industry become more competitive and the value for the homeowner to be enhanced
yes.
from where it is today. That's what we see. Now, that's not to say in all cases by any means, because there's certainly value in extreme cases where solar can be utilized.
Sure.
It can certainly be a value.
Yeah, I think it is kind of at a turning point. You know, it's almost been a hobby thing for the homeowner so far, because you're right, you know, it could take 20 plus years to pay back. A solar
right.
system.
Well, that's what we...
There initially were some subsidies when they were having this program a couple
right.
years ago.
Right.
Yes. And now those subsidies are gone.
Yeah, the players that are involved, the manufacturers or whoever it is that's distributing these products, the, you know, the contracts and the commitments that you need to make, and different restrictions that are, you know, that in some cases are placed on.
The reason why I brought it up is that once you're at the extreme of 35 or you're at it.
Yes.
So what else can you do?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look.
Yeah,
what's next?
And when you do start to add those systems in,
right.
you know, when say you almost went like a net zero or
right.
you know, went into like a passive house type system, once you start then adding in a photovoltaic, you could actually end up getting net positive rather than even zero.
Right, and again, you know, going back to that solar, the idea of selling energy back to the I don't think the system is quite ready or prepared for for that yet. I'd love to see the electric companies have programs that would allow if you were becoming net positive, you know, you should be able to sell it back to the electric company very readily, and that should be made, in my opinion, it should be made a lot easier than it is
yes,
today.
And it is starting. I mean, that's actually one of the things too about keep going back to East Hampton, but that's one of the reasons that they're starting to integrate this, because they're running out of power plant capacity.
Well, you know, here's a question I have for Sam. East Hampton and I think Bridgehampton as well, some of these areas out in Long Island are taking the lead in terms of their standards for building yes. and the codes and whatnot. And I from what I can tell, they seem to be doing it in a pretty reasonable way and for the common good, whether it be the environment or the homeowner or cost savings or value, overall value of the home.
Sure.
Sam, you know, we've seen Greenwich has done a phenomenal job with regard to paying attention to sustainability. I don't know much about the codes in Greenwich and what they're doing from sort of a municipal perspective or a government perspective, like in East Hampton or a Bridgehampton. What role is Greenwich playing in terms of taking this lead and becoming a leader in? And I know that you do it, and the Greenwich Housing Authority pays a lot of attention to sustainability, and you guys do a great job with the buildings.
Oh, we every dollar we save in energy costs,
right?
A dollar that
sure.
backs into our project.
Are you getting a lot of support with this?
For our own use, yes.
Uh-huh.
I don't see a lot of other outside interests, but you know, my main concern is taking care of the Housing Authority and
right.
keeping our costs down. Mm-hmm. But people do call us, like in, local other municipalities, and say, "Hey, Greenwich is doing this, so let's talk to them and see if we can get involved and how do they go about it." So, to that aspect, yes. But as far as us taking a lead, I don't.
In terms of the format like East Hampton, where they're adopting a HERS standard, are there any considerations for that?
Not that I know of. I'm not saying that they're not doing it.
Do you think would that be a good thing for Greenwich?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I had with our previous zoning town planner, because I was thinking of putting up a windmill. Hmm. I live high on a hill.
In your front yard?
No, well, in my backyard. Actually, I got a lot of wind.
Right.
So I said, is there any regulation right now? There is no regulations for windmills.
So, meaning you can or you can't?
Well, there's nothing saying I can't or I can.
Okay.
So I'm sure it would be a test case, because at that time, you know, several years ago, I was thinking of doing that and saying, well, put it up there. When it's used, it's used. It's not, it's not.
Sure.
Because at that time, the solar panels were heavy, thick, and all that. I don't have solar now, but now they've come a long way. They're very thin and light.
Mm-hmm. Well, just from some of the people that we've worked with, I mean, I can tell you that exactly how highly regarded Greenwich is in terms of taking the lead on sustainability. We have talked to people in Norwalk. And who have spoken to people within your housing authority, and they're really looking to Greenwich as a leader. They're following.
To say, we I think have taken the lead in that area on our own ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we see is, you know, we see towns like for example, we did a housing authority project with Greenberg, New York, and Greenberg got a lot of their ideas and products from visiting with your folks down at the Greenwich Housing Authority.
And we got a lot more we're working on too.
Yeah, yeah. So there's going to be a lot more examples of that,
yeah.
Right? You've got is Armstrong Court is that coming up this year?
Well, I'm going to start the 18 units in the next, hopefully, get the shovel in the ground next couple of months.
Okay,
and then the complete renovation. Probably a 3 or 4 year project, but that's all going to be high end sustainability. I mean, I'm looking to save in the long run. That's why we're going to make an initial investment.
Sure.
I'm paying a little bit more up front, but down the road, we're going to be saving a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
So, Chris, why don't you talk a little bit more about some other types of projects you've been involved with, and while we've got a few minutes, and
sure.
then we'll get Rob Kennedy. I want to bring Rob in and let him talk about how we met you.
Give us your website too.
Oh, absolutely.
Well. Right well, go ahead.
Yeah, our website is caharchitecture.com, and we're CAH Architecture and Design LLC. So.
And you're located here in...
Yes, we're
right, right here at 78 Valley Road?
Yeah, in Cass Cobb.
Okay.
So, right near my
absolutely.
Club.
Oh, yeah.
The St. Lawrence Club.
Yeah,
right next to the bike shop.
We're in the same building as the bike shop. So.
And Chris like my partner here, Rob Kennedy, is an avid runner.
That's true.
Likes to stay healthy as well as build sustainable homes.
We're having a big dinner at the club.
All right.
You come on over.
Oh, nice.
Pasta dinner.
Absolutely.
Oh, excellent. That's great.
Right. That sounds good.
Yeah, definitely.
Rob, you want to come in and talk a little bit, Rob?
Sure.
So a few months ago, I had met Wendy Fogg from Better Home Builders in Greenwich, Connecticut, and she had spoke very highly about Chris and some of the work he was doing. And being a runner as well, then I met Chris a few months later, and we spoke about Wendy and some of the projects that he was doing, and that's how the relationship started.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and
that's great.
So Chris is going to talk a bit more about some of the things that he's doing with the projects.
Yes, absolutely.
Hit the highlights because we're running out the clock. Only about three, four more minutes left. So
oh, sure.
There's some good stuff.
Good. So, you know, we do a pretty wide range of projects. A lot of high-end residential, new homes, renovations, multifamily properties. Just finished a 13-unit up in Fairfield. Multifamily. I do some light commercial too, restaurants, retail, fit outs. You know, we do try to work as much energy conservation as we can.
You see a project or you see a legal notice or something to try to go direct to the developer or the architect or the site planner beforehand?
Yes, yeah, we do that.
There's a big project coming up right now in Greenwich.
Oh.
I don't know if you heard about it, but. Oh. There seems to be some controversy about it. It's the old medical building and just before the bridge in Old Greenwich.
Oh, sure.
43 units. There's a proposal
for
what the talk is. So here you go with energy efficient project.
Well, that'd be fantastic. You know, that sounds a lot like we're working on one in Bridgeport too. That's like that. It's a existing industrial building.
Right.
So converting the second story of industrial
into
residential. Well, they make
demolish it and start fresh.
Sure. Well,
but,
that's always an option, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's thinking, though, of sort of energy efficiency and all, it's kind of nice see an old building get reused. So, you know, there might be some inefficiency in the existing shell, but, you know, there's all that energy that's already been spent creating it that's saved in the... If you go for a full life cycle,
I know Mark makes me cognizant more than ever on energy efficiency since he's been coming on the show here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, a number of the projects too we work on are with Seth Greenwald with Silver Heights Development. So we've partnered with them on that 13-unit condo and the one I was mentioning out in East Hampton at 7,000 square feet, doing that one with them too. So, you know, they're kind of taking the lead on a lot of these projects too, which is nice to see.
And they're here right in Westport, Connecticut, right?
Yes, they are.
To Seth and very excited about working with these guys in the future. They seem to have some great projects.
Yeah, they do.
Well, it looks like we ran the clock out, guys. So I want to thank you all for coming in. I think it was a great show, as always. I guess you'll have some new guests for me next 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to see any past shows, you can go on to greenviewbuildingproducts.com, and we have things archived there, and there have been some great guests, so please check out the site.
Also, too, you can go on to WGCH.com, and it shows archives, so you can get it through us also. Okay. Fantastic. So thanks for coming in.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, great. 661-5051. You've been listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH.